Thanks, Ken.
Chairman Cardoza and members of the subcommittee, my name is David Ellingson. I live in Ortonville, Minnesota, where I operate 3,700 colonies of honeybees for pollination and honey production. I ship my bees to both California and Texas for parts of the year. I also operate a business that processes beeswax for beekeepers. First, I want to express the thanks of our entire industry for the concern you're showing for our problems by holding this hearing. My personal appreciation for being invited to tell you my story. I've been in beekeeping all my life, having followed my father into business. Over those years, like any other farmer, we've seen our shares of ups and downs, but now I'm experiencing the lowest point of my beekeeping life. For many years, we have wintered portion of our bees in Texas, where the milder climates and earlier springs allows us to get a jump start in spring compared to Minnesota. Looking back over the years, I see we have had to increase the number of hives brought down each year to make up our numbers for the summer. 30 plus years ago, we could depend on having a 5-to-1 split. That is, we could haul 800 hives to Texas and able to split these into making 4,000 colonies. Today, we're hauling around 2,000 colonies to Texas just to make up those same numbers or those 3,700. Now comes the winter of 2006 and 7. We hauled 2,000 hives to Texas in the fall. We went through the colonies, we fed them corn syrup and pollen substitute. The queens were starting to lay some eggs for new young bees. My observation at this time was the colonies were strong, the mite counts were very low. There were good amounts of food stores for the bees. I felt that following a good honey crop last summer and a good fall in Minnesota, that my bees were looking as good as I'd ever seen in a long time. I even felt that we would have some surplus bees to sell to others. Now, we came back to Texas on January 5th to sort out the best colonies to ship to California to rent out for almond pollination. I found more hives than normal without bees. These hives still had food stores, honey, pollen, and the colonies didn't starve to death. The percentage of small clusters was higher than expected. I know now that many of these colonies also were dying. We selected 808 hives and shipped them to California. By January 25th, our beekeeper partner in California reported that one-third of these colonies were gone and another third were too weak to rent. We then went and shipped out another 400 hives to fill the contract. Within 2 weeks of delivery, 50 of these colonies had disappeared. These also had plenty of honey and pollen. My loss on the bees not going into the almonds is in excess of $60,000 plus freight, which is $9,800 per load. That had to be paid without regard to the condition of the bees once they arrived in California. The second load, which should have been worth more because there was more bees and they were in two-story hives, should have netted me at least $26,250. So overall, I should expect to have a net profit of $6,600. Now, when I deduct my time and expenses of two trips to Texas to prepare the bees, plus the wear and tear and loss of being in shipment, the final question becomes, what will I have to work with when these bees come back to Texas? So far, instead of having surplus bees to sell, I've been buying bees, spending approximately $10,000 for bees to fill some of my equipment. Even so, I believe we'll be running 1,000 to 1,500 fewer colonies this year. That's 1,500 hives with a possible 100-pound honey crop at 85 cents a pound gives me another net loss of $127,500. I truly felt that we had done everything right this year. When you wake up at 2 in the morning and lie there wondering, what did I do wrong? And then you talk to another beekeeper who has done the same thing and is not having the problems that we are, it'll just about drive you nuts. There are things that we need. We need more beekeeping research. We need money today to analyze the samples that have been taken for these USDA and these university labs. Today we need that money. We don't need it next year. Next year we might not have any bees. We don't know. We need more research. We need more scientists. We need an effective and efficient technology transfer of what the scientists find out and how we can get it into our bees. You know, a farmer has all the tools that we don't see. He has an agronomist, he has a soil sampler, he has all these things. Do you think that farmer could make the crop that he makes today if he didn't have those tools? We don't have those tools. We need those tools. I'd like to conclude with a personal comment. This is a tough business. It's one that takes you away from home a lot, just like you here in D.C. We're a small industry scattered across the country. If we're going to have a viable honeybee industry, we must have dedicated people who are willing to go the distance, but even dedicated people need assistance from time to time. I have been deep in debt from when my dad died. I will not put myself in that position again. Other facts are the banks have forever been cutting our lending because of defaults on other beekeeping practices. The median age of a beekeeper is over 50. A lot of them are on the brink of hanging it up. There's a glimmer of hope that we could in some manner improve the lot of beekeepers. The atmosphere in this industry would and could be greatly improved, and we would see new, younger beekeepers moving in. I certainly would have chosen a better way to celebrate our company's 60th anniversary in the honeybee business. Again, I thank you for the opportunity to give my views of the colony collapse disorder and what effect it's having on my business and those of my fellow beekeepers. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Ellingson. Compelling testimony. Appreciate it very much.